It's good to see everybody this evening. Hope everybody's had a good afternoon today. I know my mom and dad have, my girls, those of you who might know Charisse and Rebecca, got to go up to Colorado this weekend to go say hello to them, and they're on their way back this evening, but they got to go and visit them. I was there all week last week, I thought Mom used to be a slave driver when I was a little kid, but boy, I'll tell you now, it's nothing compared to that. I was actually feeling bad for myself for a while, thinking of all the things. I'd get up at 7 o'clock and start working about 7, and I'd stop working about 7 or 8 o'clock each evening, and it was like 90 to 95 degrees there outside. And I know y'all are thinking, yeah, it was only about 105 to 110 here, so I didn't feel quite as bad after I heard that. And then when I found out that Mike was working about 12 to 14 hours a day in Perryton in this heat, I really felt even a little bit better about it. So really, I just got through with the Colorado vacation compared to some of the things that y'all have done. But it was during that vacation that I really noticed some things that as you go through the scriptures, maybe you're like this too, but you think of things that pertain to your life at the time, and you think about maybe how these passages apply just from the physical things that you do. And so if I might mention a thing or two along those lines this evening as we continue with this lesson in 2 Peter. If you'd like to be turning over, we're in 2 Peter. We talked about primarily verse 1 today. We did touch very lightly on the last few verses, or the last verses at the end of the lesson, but it was really chapter 1 and verse 1 of 2 Peter that we concentrated on, and particularly the idea of a faith as precious as they had during that time, or a faith as precious as they shared. And of course, that precious faith was that their faith within Christ. Certainly it was precious and it was valuable because of what they put into it, but the precious nature of it, that which makes our faith precious today, is Christ, and it is God. And so let's jump off from that point and look now in verse 2 and just think about how, if you really lived this verse and thought about this verse, how much it might change your life. Because Peter, through inspiration, says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." I think sometimes, if you're like me, when we start reading a chapter, we're just looking at that as introduction, you know, kind of like when you're a little kid, "How are you? I am fine," that type of a format. But that's not the way the Bible was written. And as Peter pens this letter to Christians during the first century, he has something important packed in every phrase, and this is something for us that just verse 2 alone, if we would really embrace this gift that God has given to us, it would change our lives. And if you don't believe me, just think about this passage this week, because again, he says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." I see so many people in life who just don't have peace. And there have been times in my life where I haven't had a lot of peace. And I have to conclude, at the times in my life where I didn't have a lot of peace, it was because my focus was on the wrong thing. My focus wasn't on God and on Christ and on what I was doing here. But people just get roiled up over everything, and there are a lot of people who take advantage of that. We have a really twisted sense of government in the world today, not just in America, but in the world today. It's different, perhaps, than it has been at the times that we consider the height of good and faithful government. I always like to go back to the founding of our nation and look at the sacrifices some of the people made back during that time. I believe part of the reason they had such a good government back during that time was the ones that declared the war were the ones that went to the war. Now the ones that declare the war can capriciously send other people off, not necessarily that are related to them. But the idea is that now, instead of having a lot of servants, it seems like a lot of the people who are involved in government just try and get us roiled up. And they try and get you mad at this group, or they try and get you mad at that group, and they try and tell you of of the dangers that are present that only they can rescue you from. And so they kind of roil you up. There's nothing peaceful about politics today. I suppose there hasn't been a lot throughout history, but there have been a few times. I think about the news, and the news is designed the same. I don't know if you have noticed, but it doesn't matter what news you turn to. They know which buttons to push that will get you roiled up. It simply doesn't matter. If you listen to talk radio, they know which buttons to push. And I'm not saying that we don't listen to news and that we don't listen to talk radio. I'm just saying that they know how to do things that will make you not have peace. They are not there to give you peace. As you just walk around and you listen to people talk, and it just seems like the things that people talk about are the things that are going on that are difficult in their life or bad in their life. And really, what I conclude from all of this is when it comes to a worldly nature, the world is the absence of peace. But in Christ, there's an abundance of peace. Isn't it odd that when we are all disturbed and we're all upset about different things that often we will turn on the TV instead of opening up our Bible? Because within these pages are the secrets to peace. The Apostle Peter, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." The peace is predicated on the grace. Grace and abundance. A lot of times when we talk to people about becoming a Christian, changing their life, so often what they want to look at is what they've done in the past. I don't know how many people I have talked to that have maybe been up in years and maybe approaching the time of their death and have had the opportunity to study with them, and it's almost universal, the rejection of the gospel because of the idea that it's too late for me. You don't know what I've done. I've just wasted too much time. I'm not a hypocrite. It's too late to start. And yet we have grace and abundance if we'll take it. The more you have done that are opposed to God's principles, the more grace that you have available to you. Grace in abundance. Because we have grace in abundance, we have the opportunity to come to God, come back to God at any time we want. And because of that grace in abundance, now we can have peace in abundance. I don't deserve it, but this is the agreement that God has made with me. This is God's covenant with mankind. I have done this, and now if you'll do this, you'll have an eternal kingdom. A rich welcome into an eternal kingdom is how he puts it in verse 11. And that gives us peace. I was thinking about this week as I watch my parents decline. They're getting to that age, and that's all right. That's the way God designed it. God designed our physical bodies to wear out so that we would be thinking about the importance and the brevity of life, and also about the importance of the promise that he has for us. The time when all pain will end, the time when all sorrow will end, and that should give us peace. And I have been impressed with, if I might boast about my parents a little bit, with the attitude that they seem to have had, the acceptance that they seem to have had about certain things. And I believe that they've got that acceptance about the reality of where they're at in life because of this peace that is in abundance, because of the grace that's in abundance. They're planning on going to heaven anyway. Both of them know they don't deserve it, but both of them are planning on going to heaven. And so as they draw closer to that moment, whether it be a few years or a few months or a few days, they have peace. Do they want to go through the uncertainty? And the answer is no. Do they want to go through the pain? And the answer is no. But this is the way our lives are. And because God has given us an abundance of peace, if we'll just take it, then we get to go through life, I believe, with a great deal of joy. If we decide to do that, if we decide not to accept that gift, that's fine. It's like all the gifts you have under the Christmas tree when you're a kid at Christmas time. You don't have to open them if you don't want them. If you're mad at your parents for making you go to your room early, you don't have to play with your favorite toy if you don't want to. That will show them. Isn't it interesting how many people show God because they think that somehow they have received the short end of life by not accepting his grace and peace? That any child of five knows better than that, to not open their gifts, and yet how often we do that as adults. Let me encourage you, if you have not opened this gift, to open it. You have grace and you have peace in abundance. And if you will embrace that, it will change, I believe, the way you live and your outlook on life. I also want to point out that these two things are available through our knowledge of God and our knowledge of Jesus our Lord. They're not just for anybody. They are for those who will gain a proper knowledge of them. Now, they want everyone to gain that proper knowledge, but it's only for those who are willing to do that. And we'll talk about knowledge a little bit more in a moment. In verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. There we have again these great gifts of everything you need for life and godliness. Now, I believe the life he's talking about primarily is our spiritual life, but it also has application to our physical life. The point is that God's given us everything to exist here on earth, and not just to exist, but to thrive here on earth. Even though there are a lot of sinful things around us, there are a lot of challenges, God has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. Are we taking advantage of that? Or do we get discouraged? I know it's easy to get discouraged when you have just bad news all around you. And again, I want to say that's why we need to open the good news more often, because that will give you encouragement in a world of discouragement. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Godliness, according to Vine's Greek dictionary, is this. Godliness denotes that piety which, characterized by a Godward attitude, does that which is well-pleasing to Him. The idea behind godliness is that we have our mind focused upon God and upon Christ, and that we are so focused on that we want to please them. There is a godly attitude. It also involves a goodness within our heart, but it also involves a God-likeness as far as men can be like God, and men are commanded to be like God in those areas of the Christian virtues. But this is that type of an attitude that is thinking towards God all the time and is trying to think how you can please God. It really helps. Let me tell you, had somebody told me just a week before that I was going to have to get up and work for 12 to 13 hours out in the hot sunshine every day, and then fall asleep exhausted a little bit later because I'm not used to that kind of work, and then get up the next day and do it, I would just be really reluctant. I'd be dragging my feet to do that. But I was doing it for Mom and Dad. And so there was a difference in that. I knew that what I was doing, clumsy as I am at it and as unskilled of labor as I am, I was doing it for a worthy cause, my parents. And because I loved my parents, I wasn't worried about the things that I had to do or the amount of effort that it was going to take. Do you know how many people worry about the amount of effort it's going to take just to get up on a Sunday morning and go to Bible class and to worship? Isn't it true that we've all done that at one time or another? I gotta get up and go to church is what we say, instead of it's the first day of the week, I get to get up and I get to go to the worship of the Father and the Son. I get to partake of those emblems that are my life right now because of the sacrifice Christ has made for me. Which is it that we have? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. We are seeking this godliness, and we have everything we need, and our lives are focused upon God, and we want to please Him. And He's given us everything we need to do that. He says, through these, in verse 4, through what? Through the promise that He has just said. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises. Well, what are these? Through these, He's given us His very great and precious promise. Well, He just talked about His divine power, His glory, and His goodness. So, through God's divine power, His glory, and His goodness, we have great, very great, and precious promises. Carolyn has a chunk of fool's gold over at the house. As a matter of fact, she was showing the fool's gold to some of the people after services. I'm not sure why she had it here. She wanted to teach in Bible class this morning. But anyway, she had a chunk of fool's gold, and she was wagging it around. And everybody was enjoying looking at it because it's pretty. It glitters just like gold. But it doesn't have the same characteristics of gold. You can't do the same things with it, and it doesn't have the value of gold, but it's pretty. There are a lot of people who embrace fool's gold in this life. They think it's as great and precious as God's promises, but it is as worthless as fool's gold. There's a lot of people through the years who have literally killed themselves for a bunch of fool's gold. I think there's a lot of people, even more people, from a percentage basis, that are killing themselves for fool's gold from a spiritual standpoint, from a standpoint of what they think they need for life. And they're going after the wrong things. They think they'll find peace here, but there isn't peace here because it's fool's gold. Well, because of God's power, because of His glory and His goodness, we have very great and precious promises. What He's promised us is nothing short of an eternal kingdom with Him. Is that what you're living for? Because if that's what you're living for, then you're going to enjoy the peace. But if this is not what you're living for, you're not going to have peace. Now, we live in a tumultuous world. You're still going to have things that do not go your way. The question is, how are you going to react to these things that do not go your way? And would you rather go through these things that you go through that are so unpleasant with God or without God? With peace or without peace? In verse 4, so that through them, these great and precious promises, you may participate in the divine nature. Think about the divine nature for a minute. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, that's the divine nature. It's the way. In 1 John, we're told if we will walk in the light as He, God, is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from every sin. It's the light. When we talk about participating in the divine nature, we're talking about being in the way, being in the light. I like to think of it maybe in a way that is simple for me to understand. It's hard to understand somehow sometimes this divine nature. But maybe the way to understand it, as we look at talking about it, at least from the perspective of the way that God wants us to live and the light He wants us to walk in, is like electricity. You know, you can tap into electricity. When I was working with different power tools, it was really nice to be able to tap into electricity. I was mixing concrete. Now, some of y'all may have mixed concrete by hand, and you know what an exciting thing it is. My brother-in-law brought me a tool that you could attach to a drill, and you could mix the concrete with that drill bit. It was a drill bit was about this long, and it was just perfect. And as long as I had electricity, I could mix that fairly easily. I say fairly easily. I'm still weak. I would be going along, and I'd hit a spot in that bucket that I was going, and it would just twist my wrist and nearly take me all the way around the bucket with it. But I had power coming from that source. I broke my dad's cordless drill bit. It was in his cord, and it kind of exhausted itself, I guess, because the battery wore down and I couldn't find the charger on it. But I plugged it into an electric drill, and that electric drill, I was able to do everything with all sorts of power. Long as that thing was plugged in, you removed it from the power, you removed it from the source, and it stopped working. If you stop walking in the way, if you stop walking in the light, you no longer participate in the divine nature, and you no longer have God's grace in abundance, and you no longer have God's peace in abundance. You have to be tapped into that divine nature in order to do that. In order to get electricity, you put it in the source of the electricity. In order to get peace and grace, you have to put it in the source of peace and grace, and that is by participating in God's divine nature. We have to be in His way and walking in His light. But then He says, we do this, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Think about what corruption is. I mentioned I was working with concrete. I was working with sacks of Quikrete. I don't know if you've ever, some of y'all have worked with this. Some of y'all have mixed concrete. I was around Alvin when he was mixing concrete, when Carolyn and I were dating. I think he was trying to see if I would really stick around or if I would run away. And so if you've ever mixed concrete, it's just you take whatever it is. I don't even know what you make concrete. Limestone, crushed lime, I don't know what you make it out of. But I knew he had a bag of stuff there that we put in with sand and that we put in with gravel and we mixed with water and we came out with some kind of concoction that actually poured very smoothly into a form and is still there to this day. As a matter of fact, it's still there to this day with Carolyn's and my name on it after we carved our names in it during this time that we were dating. Well, I worked with Quikrete and I like that because it's all pre-mixed. But I understand if you mix concrete wrong and you put in too much sand, it can look just like concrete. And it can set up just like concrete. Hadn't been too many months ago that I saw something on the news. A bunch of buildings in some third world country were collapsing. And they found out the reason that these buildings were collapsing was that the concrete that they had used, they had intentionally mixed with too much sand. And the reason was because sand was so much cheaper than the other components that you put into concrete. And so the guys that built that saved a lot of money by mixing it with more sand than they should. And they corrupted that concrete. And when those buildings fell because of the corrupted concrete, people died. Through these, His glory, His goodness, His divine power, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Our evil desires corrupt our souls. They corrupt everything around us. They corrupt the opportunities that we will have with our friends and with our family. They corrupt, and they don't allow us to partake anymore in the source, in the way, in the light, in God's divine nature. How are you doing with your evil desires? Are you letting them take over, or are you suppressing them? Because if you allow your evil desires to take over, it will corrupt your life. And when it corrupts your life, you're going to notice that you don't have the peace in your life that God wants you to have in abundance. And you're not going to have that because you've rejected the grace He's offered you in abundance, because you've rejected His terms. So the question in all this, I guess, as we look at this, and the point of all this is that God has designed a way that is to Him. It is a way that allows us to live our life the very best that we can. It is a way that is filled with peace and therefore with joy. But we have to take it. We have to embrace it. We have to keep our lives free from the corruption that's caused by evil desires to take that. And if we will, life is really, really good. And then there's a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll talk more about this pattern that God has given to us to be able to get to this point next week. But for now, the question is, do you have peace and abundance? And if the answer is no, I really don't, then maybe the thing you need to ask yourself is, then do you really have grace and abundance? And if not, is it not possibly because you've rejected the grace that God so freely offers because of your own decisions? If you're ready to become a Christian tonight and embrace that, these abundance blessings that we have by participating in God's divine nature, we'd love to help you become a Christian. And if you need the prayers of the congregation, or if we can help you in any way, won't you come while we stand?